Hi, y'all. My name is Anna, and welcome back to the Girls Gather podcast. It has been a while, to say the least. The last episode that went live was in June. So, a long, long while. But the past semester and 6 or so months have just been so busy and wild and full of joy and lessons and all the things, but I really just needed to take a step back from so many things. And it was great, not gonna lie, it was much needed. But I have really wanted to come back to this space. I still have such a heart for podcasting and for this platform. And, you know, after being gone for so long, I was really struggling with if I could come back, how to do it. Like, I've been gone for so long. Is it going to be strange? And honestly, I just decided to do it. I thought and prayed about it a lot, and I just decided that it was time. So I am back, and Girls Gather is back. We're doing it. I am really overjoyed to be here and be jumping back into things. Today's podcast episode is one of my all-time favorites. We're going to have a few changes, and one of those is we're going to be even more conversational based than before. While there was never a script or anything like that, personally, I put a lot of pressure on myself to really plan out the conversations and where they were going to go, and in order to make this whole podcasting thing more sustainable and to keep the passion and joy with it, I've just decided to let the conversations roll and make this whole thing a lot more real, raw, and relatable, transparent, all of that. And so today's episode is exactly that. We brought some questions to the table, but really, we let the conversation flow. You know, we started out with some base questions and they just went on from there with thoughts and ideas and questions that came up. And I love it. I had so much fun recording it. My friends had a blast, and it really just brought us together in community and in deep conversation, and that's the goal of this podcast right there. So I can't wait to jump back into this journey with y'all. We're going to aim for every other Thursday for a new episode, but we will see what happens. I really want to be proud of the content that I put out there, and so I'm going to focus a lot on that, on creating real, authentic content that I am proud to put out, but also that I think is purposeful. And so, yeah, I cannot wait. And let's jump into today's episode. So today on the podcast, we have my friends, Ryan Schemmer and Chloe Brown. I have known y'all for what, 6 months?
Almost?
No, it's 5 months, almost 6 months.
Almost 6 months. But we spend about 12 hours a day together, so we know each other very well. Do you guys want to introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about who you are?
Sure, I'll go first. Hi, I'm Chloe. I grew up overseas in Europe. I am a missionary kid. And I attend Cal Baptist with Anna.
That's it. All right.
Well,
I don't know, you go into more detail about yourself. Well, I'm Ryan. Hello, welcome. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it. I'm a senior here at Cal Baptist. I'm studying early childhood studies, so I actually want to be a teacher. So hopefully next year I'll be teaching. Excited for it and excited to see where God takes me with that.
Yeah, so it might be kind of weird that we have a guy on here because, you know, this is called the Girls Gather podcast. But we thought it would be really fun today to force Ryan to sit down with us. I mean, he willingly did it.
Yeah.
There's a little convincing. To sit down with us, and we kind of put together some random questions. We asked some friends questions that they have for kind of Christian men, and so kind of have a big task today, Ryan, speaking for Christian men in general.
Whoa.
You are the voice.
You are the voice of them all today. So we just thought it'd be fun to switch it up. And yeah, so what should we talk about first? You can choose one of our questions, Rye. How do you want to start this off?
Oh, we could start off with an easy one. That'd be nice.
Are any of them that easy?
They're not. We could do this one right here.
Okay, so the first one we're going to kind of just dig into is the question, do you feel it is unmasculine to talk about emotions and feelings? And then how, as a man, do you kind of move past that? Have you moved past that? What has that looked like for you?
Wow. Well, here we go. I think it's very much viewed in society today as unmasculine to talk about your emotions or your feelings as a man. It's definitely something that all guys have to work past or kind of have to realize that it's really not unmasculine to talk about those emotions and those feelings. I think for me personally, I tend to still, you know, put my emotions and my feelings aside and kind of focus on other people. But that's kind of the two in me, as we both know.
We're all twos. Yes. Not that that really matters, but,
you know, it has some factor into it. But yeah, with that, I think a lot of guys still struggle with that or still feel as though because society says you have to be this tough man or this macho man that you can't have these feelings or you can't have these emotions come out or be talked about and be open with them. But no, I think it's definitely, it's actually more masculine to talk about your emotions and your feelings, to be able to be comfortable in your own skin and comfortable with yourself, and talk about, you know, kind of what's troubling you or what's going on or how you're feeling. I think people really, are encouraged by that. And when they see you like that soft side of you, they actually like that, you know, and kind of connect with you more. So yeah, I don't think it's unmasculine at all.
I have a question.
Yeah, what's your question?
Do you feel like you grew up where you were kind of taught to open up more and, like, discuss your emotions more? Or were you more raised in a way of being, like, don't show your emotions, like, don't cry? Or, you know, like, an in-between of that?
Definitely both. I think the world and, like, going to school and being playing football, soccer and everything definitely taught me to put your emotions to the side. Not to like talk about your feelings and kind of like, you know, be a tough guy about it. But my home life, I was definitely raised by my parents to talk about, you know, what I was feeling. They were always good at asking me and intentional about asking me what was wrong or what was going on. And they never pushed aside my feelings or emotions. So with that, it was kind of both. You know, I had one side where all my friends, you know, it was like, oh, I got to be cool and tough and like not show emotion. But then on my, you know, family side, and when I was being raised by my parents, it was very much like, it's okay to talk about your emotions, your feelings, and like, we want to hear about them.
So I'm over here asking about a million questions. What is more Anna than that? So one thing you've said a few times is that society is saying one thing, and it's not always true. But I thought that was really interesting, because from my perspective, I think, yes, in a way, society says that men are supposed to be strong in all these things. And I totally understand growing up on like sports teams, you know, like don't cry. Mm-hmm. But I also see this switch and now where society is all about like toxic masculinity. Mm-hmm. And so like, don't be strong, like show your emotions. And so I think now we kind of have this issue of some men don't know how to be in touch with their emotions. And maybe some men, I don't know if this is bad to say, and I'm saying it on the internet forever, are too emotional. Do you think that, you agree with that?
Yeah, Chloe? I really agree with it. I was going to say that.
Yeah. So do you think that there's like, do you observe that as well, Rye? And where do we kind of like find a balance in that?
I definitely know what you're talking about with the whole switch. I mean, growing up, we very much were growing up before the internet and everything. So right when that came about, I think probably when we were starting high school or junior high, that whole shift started to happen where it was people started realizing that, you know, raising boys to be these strong men who have no emotions, no feelings is in fact what they call toxic. Mm-hmm. So now this whole switch to toxic masculinity where it's, oh, if you're a guy who, you know, is this big buff macho man who has no feelings and stuff like that, that's a toxic trait. So it kind of almost put pressure on guys to, you know, be like, look at yourself, look how you're acting. Like, that's not okay anymore. You know, even though we were still being raised in that, you know, scheme of you got to be tough, you got to show no emotion. So it's kind of a weird transition for a lot of guys, especially like for me growing up, just to see that, that kind of switch. Cause I definitely saw it when I got to college, you know, that's when toxic masculinity really, yeah. you know, started coming about and like being talked about a lot and being pushed on people. So yeah, definitely an interesting switch. But I totally get what you mean by guys being too emotional. I do know a few people who maybe don't know how to, communicate their emotions or their feelings, in a healthy way. You know, maybe they are feeling overwhelmed and they just bring it up all the time or talk about it all the time and it might be too much. So I can see where you think that, you know, men are too emotional. You know, I definitely get where you're coming from with that.
I don't know about you, Chloe, but I just feel like a balanced area, at least my experience with men, very limited. but just encountering them, not even like with dating, but just in friends, is like that balance is so hard to find. And I bet it is so hard with like the world screaming two different things at you. And so I don't know. I think that balance is so important though, because at least personally, like okay, we're switching more to like a marriage dating view, but I want someone who is like strong in those sense. Like, I feel like I'm contradicting myself because I want to say like, I do want someone who is like strong and like secure, but also someone that is able to like talk about their emotions. And something that I was thinking about when you were talking, Rye, was you were talking about understanding your emotions and how, like people realized when we're just kind of telling men not to address their emotions that like that's a toxic thing. And I'm kind of like posing the question and wondering if that has like manifested into in influx of angry men. Chloe's face right now, I wish y'all could see it, but I think we talk a lot about our experience with men who are just like really angry, and I've never really thought about it that way, but like, does it tie into them not being able to understand their emotions, not having that emotional intelligence, and it kind of comes out in anger?
That's a lot to unpack.
Would you expect anything else?
No. Well, let's start off with, we talked about emotions or like being able to talk about their emotions. What did you say exactly again?
I don't know exactly how I worded it, but basically that they don't have this emotional intelligence and they don't understand their emotions, and therefore it kind of comes out in anger.
It's almost like frustration because they have so much, but they don't understand.
So it almost like these emotions maybe like bottle up in a way, and then we see it come out as anger. I don't know if there's a tie there, but at least in my experience with, it sounds so sad, but like men who are very angry, I think a lot of the times, especially looking back, they don't have that emotional intelligence.
No, it's definitely a big tie there. I think not being able to express your emotion or talk about your feelings, for a while, you kind of just bottle it all up and then it all explodes at one point. And yeah, not having that emotional intelligence on how to talk out your feelings or emotion, does tend to come out in anger or frustration, in a very negative way. And I think that's the big tie with toxic masculinity, is the fact that because we've told men that, you know, you shouldn't be talking about your emotions or feelings, because you're supposed to be these big, strong men, it has then become toxic because then they don't know how to express themselves in a healthy way or healthy light. So then it's just this negative frustration, anger, blowing up, you know, all that you've seen in men. So it's definitely a big part to it.
What do you have to say, Chloe? I can see the wheels turning.
I think to me it just makes sense because if we're talking about my past relationships, my last ex had major anger issues. And he never cried in front of me. He refused to cry, didn't like crying, so he would bottle it all in. And he even said, like, when he'd get upset, that he didn't understand what was going on. Like, he didn't know how to explain his emotions. And so it took him a while to, like, really, like, be able to dig into, like, what was bothering him. But, like, so when you were saying that, I'm like, I understand, like, not being aware of their emotions and just not being able to express how they feel or just, like, not wanting to was a very, like, huge thing for my ex. And just, he was like, I want to be a man. And he's like, and crying's not part of that. And it made him feel weak. And so he just didn't. Yeah. And I think that kind of, like, ate at him almost because he wasn't able to actually release.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes sense. I wonder also if it's, like, they don't want to talk about feelings or honestly, like, they don't know how. But also I feel like we should throw in here, like, obviously this is not just men. I think women have the same, can have the same issue of not understanding their emotions and it kind of coming out in different ways. And this is something that I don't think I've realized as I, like, when I was younger, but as I've gotten older and just, like, observing people, I can see, like, different circumstances and emotions, like, coming out in different ways in people. But we're not just, like, hating on men over here. What else? Anything else you guys want to say about that angry men emotions?
No, but I think if we look at your next questions, a big segue we can go into is community. Because I think community is really where men are going to be able to talk about those emotions or those feelings. Because I think they need to learn how to have those conversations with friends or mentors or guys around them before they have those conversations with their significant other or before they start dating. Because you need to have guys you can trust or guys you can lean on for those hard conversations. Because without that, when you get into that relationship, it's going to be tough as a guy to sit down with your significant other and open up about these hard conversations that you need to have, especially because of the fear that you might hurt them or upset them. I think that's a big thing for guys, is not wanting to upset their significant other or say something that might hurt them.
Wow. Very different experience over here. I don't know if you feel the same way, Chloe, but hearing you say that, Ryan, I'm like, I don't think that I've really experienced where guys are that concerned about
our
upsetting
feelings.
Me. No. Or my feelings. I really don't want this to seem like a conversation hating on men. It's totally not. But I think most of the time it's never like concerned about hurting my feelings. But when they do hurt my feelings, it's, well, that's like silly, or like you shouldn't feel that way. Like you shouldn't have feelings either. Like
you need to have grace for me.
I'm like, that's
okay,
yeah.
I understand we have to have grace, but you just told me something that's probably huge.
Or like that's so small, like you shouldn't be upset about that. So that's so interesting. Okay, sorry, I don't want to like totally steer the conversation from community, but basically like community is that safe place to like practice or learn how to express those emotions. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I am. And I think that community is big to keep while dating, because you're going to need those guys or those people to lean on to be able to talk to while in a relationship. You know, you're going to have stuff that is going to bother you or upset you within the relationship. And the first thing you're going to need to do is go talk to those guys first about it and kind of unpack it with them before you have the conversation with your significant other, just to make sure that you're one, level-headed, and two, ready to be able to talk about, you know, all that's bothering you in a healthy way.
It's so interesting that you said that, because my first reaction was like, why wouldn't you talk to your girlfriend first about it and talk to your guy friends? But then after saying like, oh, to be level-headed and like know how to explain your emotions, it makes sense. Because I feel like as girls, at least for me, I'm all about communication and I love to talk, and I feel like I'm always constantly saying to guys, like, talk to me, like, open up to me, like, I need you to speak to me. And so to have, like, someone say, like, oh, go to guys first and then go to the girl is just, like, interesting. Like, I still have to wait on having this conversation.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with that is there is communication, and then there's healthy communication, you know, and you want to focus on that healthy communication, and just making sure that you're not allowing your, you know, kind of that raw emotion to drive, you know, what you're saying. So that's where it comes into, you know, knowing how to communicate that or knowing how to communicate your emotion. So big thing is, you know, taking that step or taking that time to process what you're feeling and kind of what you're going through with somebody else outside of the situation, and to hear their perspective a little bit, or to, you know, just be able to talk out what you're thinking, and then go back to the situation and being able to talk to that person about it, is really like such a healthy way to do it.
No, I agree. I think there are so many times where if I don't do that, either process with someone or even like myself, but like journal things through, a lot of times I say things that I really don't mean or that I don't want to say. And I don't realize it until I've said it. And then it's kind of too late and it escalates everything. So one of the questions that someone kind of, one of my friends asked was how to encourage your boyfriend to get integrated or more involved into community. So in a situation where you may be already dating someone and they are not involved in community, how would you, in maybe not like a pushy way, but encourage them to do so?
I'm going to process your thoughts.
That's a tough one. This is going to be a lot of processing of thoughts.
it's okay. Process, process, process.
It's tough because if you're getting into a relationship with somebody who doesn't already have a firm community or some sort of community around them, what was the other part of that question?
How to encourage your boyfriend to get integrated or more involved into community.
Okay, so just integrated or involved.
Yeah, so if they're lacking that.
If they're lacking that. So if we're saying that they're completely out of community, that's a little bit of a red flag, you know? We talk about red flags a lot.
Yes, we do.
That's a tough one because I've heard from some wise people that you're not going to change that person completely. You know, if you're getting into this relationship thinking that you're going to become the person who changes this person and makes them the best they can be, that's kind of not the best relationship to get in. To be honest, it's really tough to force or push somebody in a direction that they are already going in. If they're at a stalemate and they're not in community or don't have people around them, it's going to be really tough to push them into a group or push them to go, you know, hang out or pursue people. You know, I think before you date somebody, you kind of need to see that they are involved in that community or are pursuing that at least, so that then you can help push them towards it when they're already pursuing it. But I'm going to say it's going to be pretty hard to kindly ask somebody to pursue a community or some friendships and stuff like that. So I would say that's a big thing to look for in a guy before you date.
Yeah, because you can't pursue it for them.
Yeah.
I think that's a really big thing is, yeah. Were you going to say something, Chloe?
I feel like I can kind of relate to this, but like being on the girl side of like not being in community. And then my boyfriend at the time was trying to push me into community and just seeing like how that frustrated him that I wasn't doing that. But also I had a lot of stuff going on at that time. But just saying like you can't really like push someone to do something that they don't want to do. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, like it has to be their own choice. And so if I understand, like, where girls come from, we're, like, wanting to help our boyfriends and, like, pushing them to be better. And, like, I was that girlfriend when it came to, like, pushing him to find a mentor or push him to, like, talk to older men in his life. But at the end of the day, it really has to come down to them. And, like Ryan said, like, red flags. Like, yeah. I think that's, like, a huge thing you should see. Like, if they don't have that, I think that's something you have to think about. Like, do you want to be a part of that?
I think that's a red flag that I really like to ignore because you can make up a million excuses for that, why friendships have ended or why it was just really hard to get into community. And don't get me wrong, sometimes those aren't excuses. I've had friendships end, I've had been in seasons where it is hard to get into community, but like now that is one of the first questions I ask when I am like getting to know someone or going on a date. Like, are you in a community group? You know, if I know what church they go to, like, I ask questions about that. Like, do you have a mentor? Who are your best friends? Like, tell me about them. People love to talk about themselves and love to talk about their friends, at least from my experience. And I know, like, I love to talk about my friends and my community and hype them up. And so I think that's a really good question to ask and get to know who they're surrounding themselves with. There's like some saying that's like, you become the five people you surround yourself with the most. And honestly, I think that's so true. And so community is a huge deal. And yeah, I think red flag, but kind of practical. If you are in a situation like that, I think maybe going to like a young adults group or something that you can do together. If they're open to at least that, that could be a doorway to kind of make it fun, something you can do together, but that they can also branch out and meet people.
Probably also ask them, like, why are you not involved in community? And then see, too, if you have guy friends that know your boyfriend, ask them, like, hey, do you mind inviting him? Like, try to push him out of his shell, because maybe he's just introverted, or maybe he's just, like, that is a major red flag. Maybe he's just, like, not right in the head. Like,
not right in the head.
Not in that way, but, like, like, something is just, oh, my goodness.
On the internet. Definitely a lot there. Well, to divert from that and go back, I think that's huge that you said that we become the five people we're surrounded by. Or, like, you know, you very much pick up the characteristics of your friends. So that's another big thing, is finding out the community that, you know, your significant other is in. Definitely do it before you get into a relationship.
Amen.
With them. Because, you know, if you do become who you're surrounded by, then you need to make sure that the people that they're surrounded by are, in fact, at least decent people, you know?
At the very minimum,
at least make sure they're a decent human being. That'd probably be a good place to start, and then kind of move your standards up from there. You know, you guys set the bar.
We ask for the bare minimum.
We set the bar low first, and then we raise it. I know.
I don't comment.
Yikes. A lot of hesitation.
I feel like our bar should be high, but our expectations should be low. Does that make sense?
Oh.
Whoa. So you're saying,
like,
expect to be disappointed?
Yes. Well, at least because I feel like then you're not disappointed. Like, when you are disappointed, like, it doesn't
hurt as deep.
It doesn't hurt as deep.
Because you're kind of expecting it.
Yeah. I feel like I don't expect much when it comes to, like, I expect certain things, but when they don't do it, I'm like, okay, well, I already know, like, sweep him away, like, goodbye. Like, does that make sense? Wow.
Yeah, I guess it makes sense. I was thinking more of set the bar low, as in you're going to find some guys who have friends that maybe aren't the best, but that doesn't mean the guy isn't good. Maybe he's the really good friend in their lives.
Yeah,
that's true.
But at least make sure he has a few good other good friends around him. You know, make sure not all his friends are the same type of people, living the same type of lifestyle. You know, make sure he has a few guys who are, you know, pursuing the same things he's pursuing and pushing him in the right direction. Because I know I have a few friends that I have to push and are pushing me. So it's just, you know, it's a balance in that aspect. So that's what I meant by set the bar low. I didn't. Chloe took off on a totally different tangent. That's okay.
We love it.
We love it. We love to hear it. That's what podcasts are about.
Yeah. One more thing is something that I've realized is don't always write off their friends or their community right away. I think especially as, like, women looking in at guys' friends, you can
be very judgmental.
You can be really judgmental, okay? And, like, it's really easy to do that, especially when they're not your friends. And sometimes we're looking for the worst of things. But, okay, this is, again, it's going to sound a little contradicting, because they could just have, like, really bad friends that you might not want to get into that situation. Or it could be a thing where, like, they've really gotten to know these guys deeply and they know their hearts and who they are, but those men might not showcase that to the world. So you might not see that right away. There might be a different side of them that he sees that you don't get to see. Do you think that's fair to say, Rai?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Especially since we're girls and we're going to, like, his friend group. Obviously, guys act so different in front of girls because also his guy friends want to impress you.
Yeah.
So they're going to act differently sometimes.
Sometimes the way men try to impress is not impressive either.
Yeah, let's just say that. Please.
Yeah, I definitely think that guys tend to either lean towards wanting to impress their buddy's girlfriend and like show them like, oh, I am a good friend or I am a good person around your boyfriend, or they just don't care and they want to like mess around. You know, and be a boy, and just be dumb sometimes, you know, it goes both ways. I've seen both ways. So yes, definitely take the time to get to know, your significant other or the person you're pursuing's, guy friends, and make sure you give them the opportunity to maybe show who they are. So that means like spending time with your significant other or the person you're pursuing, with them and their friends. So don't just make it you two all the time. Get to know his life or get to see his life. And then talk to him about his friends. You know, maybe he'll shed some light on why his friends are the way they are. He shouldn't have to defend them if they are being a little crazy or a little, you know, living a lifestyle that probably isn't the best. But he can still give you insight that you might not get. To see.
Yeah.
So that's a big thing. So I know I'm only allowed to say this once on the podcast, but be patient with it is what I would say.
Oh, man. Well, I guess if you want to open up the patience store, we can go there.
Yes, thank goodness.
Hello. So if patience you do not, yeah, word. If you do not know Mr. Shimmer over here, Mr. Shimmer. He is the king of patience. Not in the sense of like he is perfect with his patience that he gives. He is a very patient man, but he likes to remind you to be patient.
I do.
A lot. I wish that I could count.
That's just because God reminds me every day to be patient.
If I had a quarter for every time I'd be rich by now.
Wouldn't we all? that would be nice.
So, if we're opening the door, have you always been so patient, Rai? Because I think Chloe can agree, you are one of the most patient men I've ever met. Like, this sounds awful. This is going to make Chloe and I sound really bad and probably shed some light on our past experiences, but we're just kind of waiting for you to snap.
Wow. You just said that on the podcast.
I did. We're being honest.
This is not where I thought we were going with that.
We're being real, okay? We don't want to see that happen, but with our past experiences, like you're really patient, and it's
really
kind of scary.
And it almost seems fake.
Wow. We know it's not.
You've known me for 6 months now, and you still think it's fake?
No, that's the thing. So. We know.
No.
We know that it's not fake. Like, you've proven yourself so many times in that area, but I think from our past experiences, we still are just almost like accustomed. I don't know the right word.
It's like it can't be real.
Yeah, it's like it's kind of like
it's
what's
too
happening.
Good to be true.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I've not always been patient, so I can attest that even though I have the patience now to control myself and be kind in all moments and not snap at you guys. I never will, or I pray to God that I never will, because that's what I ask God for every day is patience with all things in my life. So with that, I was not a patient kid, for sure. It took a lot of practice. It took a lot of good people in my life to see what patience looks like, especially my father. And, you know, it kind of took me a while to realize that I needed patience in my life and needed to pursue patience every day and to pray to God for it every single day to be who I am.
Have you ever gotten, like, good advice on patience?
I definitely don't have a single moment that stands out. I've definitely heard it throughout my life through different sermons and events. And the Bible itself, reading it But I think it's just a collection of little moments in my life and seeing, you know, seeing others really, that patience is such a key virtue and something that is so good in your life. I wish I could say I had some, you know, God moment where all of a sudden it hit me and someone spoke into my life and was like, you need to be patient, you know? That would have been nice, but I don't.
That's okay.
Yeah, I think it's just growth over my life.
You are that moment for others, though, sometimes.
Yeah, literally.
So,
you know, I try my best now.
You know, Ryan has told me to be patient. I can't count how many times, but, you know, sometimes, one moment in particular, it just, it hit deep. It was my wow moment.
All he had to say was, be patient. And that's where it just sticks.
I was just, it all changed. Okay. Digging in more deep because this is my podcast and
yeah, it's about you.
This is, well, it's not about me,
well,
but
you know,
this is who I am.
It's your territory.
This is my territory. Is it surprising to you that most of our experiences with men have, like, in those experiences, they have been anything but patient?
I want to say yes. I really do because I know a lot of great men. Who are patient and strong in, you know, hard moments. But at the same time, I understand that it's not surprising. So no, I would say that I do see and hear a lot about men being very, you know, quick to anger, quick to frustration, and it's not good. I guess that's where we could go back to toxic masculinity, really, and bringing that up, because that's definitely a big trait. But I would say that, you know, men now are just very explosive still, very angry, and it's not good, you know? But I do have hope for the future. I do have hope for all men. and that we will grow and learn how to be more patient. And I think that starts with, you know, men like me and making sure that other guys are being patient or learning about patience.
Yeah.
So hopefully all men can be patient one day.
So as the church, what do you think we could be doing to better integrate emotional intelligence but also patience into I guess our church as a whole, but really like our younger generations and the generations that we're going to be raising up? I know you're really excited to be a dad one day and you're going to be a teacher. So, you know, talking about youth is a big deal and you're going to be really involved with youth. So I don't know. Like, I know that's a really deep question and you don't have to have an answer, but I think that's a really, just dealing with angry people, but especially angry men, has left me with a lot of, just put me in a lot of really bad situations. And as dramatic as it sounds, has left me with like trauma of sorts. And so I think that's something that I'm like really passionate about. I don't know if that sounds weird to say, but what can we do? Well, one, as a church as a whole, but also like, do women play a part in this? And what is something that we can do to help men in figuring out their like emotional intelligence and growing their patience?
Good word. Well, that is a long question. I'm definitely gonna have to break that down.
No,
that's a lot. That's a lot. I think to go off your last part of the question, is there anything that women can do? That's tough to say. I don't have anything off the top of my head that I can say that like, oh, women can do this to help men, you know, in being emotionally, what are we thinking?
Intelligent, aware.
There we go.
Yeah.
Aware. So I don't have anything for you on that, which I'm sorry. I wish I did. But I think as a church, I think one of the biggest things, especially for this younger generation, is maybe to incorporate a kind of a, you know, the older generation giving back to the younger generation, you know, having a guys kind of night or day or whatever, weekend, something where you just bring a group of guys together of all ages, and you kind of let them just like get to talk with each other and, you know, pose questions for them to talk about, just to kind of hear from each other and, you know, for the younger generation to learn from that older generation. I definitely think that discipleship is huge. So I think our churches need to work more on figuring out how to make those small groups more so where it's, you know, guys in the church discipling, like older guys discipling younger guys in the church, because that's a big thing. Having a mentor is huge, especially at a young age, because I think that, you know, I wouldn't be here without all the people who invested time in me and took time to talk to me one-on-one and have those hard conversations. You know, I can name a bunch of guys off in my head that I've, you know, grown up with from like junior high or like even as early as like fourth grade. I still talk to the guy who was my small group leader in fourth grade. His name is Huey Hughes. He's a great guy.
I love that.
And yeah, I follow him. Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff, and we still talk every once in a while. I'll like comment on a story or something. You know, great guy. So yeah, you know, from, you know, a young age, I think having those small groups, having those, you know, older guys who, you know, pour into the lives of younger men, will really help this next generation coming up, and will really, you know, hopefully push them to be more, you know, in touch with their emotions, in the sense of being able to talk to those other guys about their emotions will then translate to being able to talk to their wife one day about those emotions.
Oof. Chloe, do you have anything to add?
I think our generation now is just like very quick pace, and I think that's the problem why no one's really patient nowadays. And this can be like girl and guy, like our generation is growing up with everything being so quick and accessible. So when things are not, I think we don't know how to handle that anymore. And so I think that's when the church needs to like come in and be like, bring in like biblical guidance and be like patience and have a slow life. Like, I think that's just life in general as well. Like, we need to go back to our older ways of just saying like, you need to slow down and it's okay if you don't get something right away.
Yeah.
That's all I can really think of, like instant gratification with everything.
Yeah, literally everything. That's so, so true. We just want everything now and we want it our way. And I think honestly that even goes into just like our walk with the Lord and being patient, or I don't know how to say it.
Being still.
Yeah, but like.
Steadfast.
Yeah, honestly. And like, you know, even with like trusting in the Lord's timing and things, like. We want that instant gratification of like, I pray for something, or, you know, the Lord has promised this to me and I want it now and I want it in my timing. And we don't know how to be steadfast in that. And yeah, that's just like a huge generational or also slightly maybe American problem, to be blunt.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So another question from a friend. Kind of a blunt one, but why are boys players, Ryan? I mean, she asked the question specifically to Smith boys, but for all of you non-CBU people,
well, they're kind of like a frat house,
you know, college freshmen in the dorms. But we'll just make it men or boys in general. Why are boys players?
Wow, I didn't know we were gonna throw Smith under the bus like that.
I mean, you can back them up a little thing.
I
want to
back
them up. You were once a Smith boy.
I was, and I know a lot of great Smith men who have since moved on from boyhood to manhood.
Oh. But were they like that while they're in Smith?
No, they were not like that while they were in Smith. There's some great men out there. Always Smith boys, much love to you. But there are some dumb boys, yes, in this world, all over. They do the things they do, I do not have a definitive answer. There's quite a few reasons. Sure Chloe will give you a few. I can tell she's got some on her mind. She's racking through them. She's probably got a list somewhere written down. I would just say the biggest thing is that they are very much trying to pursue their own flesh and their worldly desire instead of pursuing Christ.
so that they are very much falling into that sexual temptation. And that's why they're doing the things they do. Chloe, what do you want to add to that?
I feel like, I really just feel like guys, especially at that age, you're coming into college, you're looking for something fun. Like, you're not looking for something serious. And I feel like if it's a Christian guy, you should be looking, obviously, like, you want to date someone for marriage. But that's clearly, like, a lot of boys that come into college, if we're talking about Smith or any, like, freshman dorm, they don't really – they're not – their mindset is not there. And I feel like, especially, like, the non-believers, like, you're just not going to look for a solid relationship from them. And it's just wanting, like you said, the flesh and just kind of wanting – if we're just being honest, a makeout partner and just kind of like somebody, like just somebody you can do stuff with, because it's like, why not? Like, it's your freshman year of college. You're in college. You just want to have fun, get to know people. And there's no commitment. And I think that's what we love. We love no commitment.
I think we go off our last topic and revert back to instant gratification and talk about, you know, how guys are just trying to fill that, you know, that instant gratification, you know, they're trying to fill that desire that they have, that the flesh has, you know, and they're going to do it. And then once they get it, they're going to move on to the next, you know.
That's so sad, though.
It is. It really is.
Like, that hurts my heart. I know that sounds so lame, but I don't know. Doesn't that make you sad, Chloe, to, like, think that a guy, I don't know, showing interest in you is just, you know. Isn't that, I don't know. It makes me sad because we've all been there. We've all been there, yes. But oof, instant gratification.
I think that's what's worse about it, is knowing that it was just an instant gratification for him and that it had nothing to do about you. It wasn't that he cared about you. It wasn't that he, like, genuinely, like, loved you. And it was just kind of his own selfish need for himself. And I think that's just what it comes down to, like, especially in relationships. It's like, are you willing to be selfless? Are you willing to, like, lay everything down for that person? Are you willing to sacrifice things? And I think that's just, like, what it goes back to. Like, the guys aren't willing to give up themselves.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just lack of maturity as well. And with that selfishness, I think it's so easy to – like, be immature and be prideful in the sense of, I'm not hurting anyone, I'm just having fun. And I think that's a really common attitude in college specifically. I mean, I hate to throw freshmen under the bus, but I mean, we were freshmen there too. And I think that's a really common attitude. And honestly, it's kind of played down at CBU. Not that it's not there, but I can't imagine being at another school. Dang it, I totally lost my train of thought. Well, this is awkward. I don't know what I was going to say, y'all.
I don't know how to get you back on track.
I'm trying so hard to think. Okay, got my train of thought back. Basically, I think it's that selfishness and that pridefulness of that we're not hurting anyone is when we hurt people the most. And so it's easy for not just men, girls can do it too, to have that attitude of, like, it's just fun and games. Like, it's just an, like, instant gratification, like, over and done with. But in that, like, lack of maturity is when we really hurt others the deepest. And looking back, that's when I've been hurt the deepest, is when other people have that kind of attitude. And they're not aware of the way that the way their actions affect others.
Yeah, I just, like, you're messing with the heart when you mess with somebody. Like, I think people don't understand, even though, like, you could be the most closed off girl, you're still opening your heart up to somebody. And it doesn't matter if you think, like, you both have a mutual agreement, like, oh, like, we both agree, like, this is just this, like, what we're doing right now. You know what I mean? What's the word, like, a season for them? Or, you know what I mean? Like, even that girl, like, you get attached. And the guy can get attached too, but I think because of, like, how we said, like, masculinity,
Masculinity.
Masculinity. I don't speak English. It's not my first language. I think they're not going to own up to it, whether if they were affected by it or not. But I know us girls do.
That's good. Okay. boys' perspective, man perspective, sorry. Have you been affected by those, like Chloe's saying, so in those situations, it seems like we're being affected more because we're, like, vulnerable and honest about that, mm-hmm. whereas maybe these guys, we don't see that side. Mm-hmm. So either in your personal life or being around guys living in Smith or just guys in general, is there a backside that we're not seeing?
No. I don't think guys who are acting that way or tend to, try to be playing somebody, really let anyone in. You know, usually they put up a front and kind of hide it from everyone, even their friends. Because I've never heard of a guy talking to his buddies or even talking to me about how, you know, they were trying to act a certain way or play somebody, you know, like they've never openly said they were trying to, never openly told me they were, you know, acting this way, but then got hurt themselves, you know? So I don't think you see that very often. And I think if it does happen, people tend to hide it because they want to keep that, you know, preserve that, you know, there's this tough guy who has no feelings, going back to toxic masculinity.
Toxic masculinity. It's all right there.
It's all right there. It leads back there. Crazy, full circle.
Full circle. Okay, Rye. So last question. What should pursuit and dating look like?
That's a good question. I think the first thing that I think about is respect. When I pursue somebody, I want to be respectful of them. And I want to be respectful towards them and how I'm talking to them, how I'm communicating with them, aspects like that. You know, I'm not being rude and just DMing them a bunch of times on Instagram being like, hey, get coffee with me or hang out with me, you know, after they said no. You know,
if she says no, she means no.
Exactly. Thank you. I think I'm also very patient with it. I tend to take it slow. And I think it's a big thing, because if you rush into a relationship, it's never good. I've definitely rushed into a relationship and it did not work out well. So now I'm very patient with how I hop into relationships. Next, I think build a friendship. I tend to become really good friends with somebody before I date them, for a couple reasons. I think the first is just to get to know them, and see if I'm compatible with them. And then get to know, you know, who they are, like what makes them tick, you know, what do they do? And then two, I think that when I date somebody, that person is usually the person I spend all my time with. So I want to be spending time with my best friend, you know, like that's how I view it, is like you're dating somebody, or even when you go to marry somebody, like that person is your best friend because you spend so much time with them. Like you should enjoy hanging out with them, going places with them, all that stuff. So I think when I pursue somebody, I pursue a friendship first, and build that. I think you have to be intentional in all that you do. Making sure that you're communicating with them and talking to them about like what your intentions are for the relationship, setting up those boundaries. I think the toughest thing is sticking to the boundaries. I think, you know, that goes back to that instant gratification, where we in society today want that so bad that, you know, when you start to pursue a relationship with somebody, it's hard to set up those boundaries and hold those boundaries. And so that's the biggest thing that I try to work on, and that I'm working on to do. And lastly, I think you hinted at this before in one of our conversations where we talked about being pure, pursuing someone in a pure way, and just, you know, looking at the relationship as a, in a godly way, or looking at it as like, this is a, somebody who is like, you know, a part of, you know, my godly family and stuff like that. And I need to be pure in this moment, and I need to be making sure that this relationship is pure to God. So I think that's another big part.
Yeah, I think like the purely sense of it can also like one pertain to like setting up boundaries and all of that, and but also just your heart towards them and like kind of back into your intentions. And I don't know, I think that kind of plays into all of them. Like, I don't know what I'm saying anymore. Chloe, speak some life into this. I'm just going on a tangent.
I think I understand, like, pursuing someone purely should be all these attributes of respectfulness and patience and intentionality and having a friendship with someone, like, especially in, like, a godly relationship, like, it should be pure. And I think, like, the way you view somebody, it should be pure.
Like, pure-hearted. Yeah, I think that's what absolutely. I'm trying to get at, is I think, like, yes, purity does pertain to, like, sexual temptation and mm-hmm. all of these things, but I also think there's a sense of just, like, being pure-hearted in what we do and the people that we pursue, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree, yeah.
Another thing, right? You talked about patience, which totally agree. We've talked a lot about patience in this podcast. Like we said, king of patience over here. But if a guy's too patient, is that a red flag? If things aren't moving, if they're not going anywhere, like I'm being serious. I know you're kind of laughing at me right now, but I think that I've been in situations like that before where like, it's like, oh, like we're just, I don't know, it's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. And like, can they be too patient? Is that a red flag that you should get out, that this isn't going to go anywhere, that you might be wasting your time or they're not serious?
Mm. I think you can tell when it's patience or it's not. If they're just, you know, being stagnant in what they're doing, I think you can tell. I think even – I don't think patience means they're not doing anything. I think patience means they're taking it slow and that – they're not, you know, rushing through things, so they're not overcommitting or, like, you know, stepping over mm-hmm. boundaries and stuff like that. I think patience just looks like somebody, not even taking their time, but, like, somebody just taking the steps slowly through the relationship to make sure they're being respectful. I think when the person isn't texting you or isn't hanging out with you or isn't doing anything to pursue you, then that's not patience. That's just them not being in pursuit of you anymore. So I think you have to look at it that way, is that like patience doesn't mean that they're, you know, taking 2 weeks off to not talk to you and not hang out with you or see you. Patience just means that they're taking stuff day by day in a slower manner. They're still communicating with you. They're still talking with you, you know, but they're not rushing through everything. You can definitely tell when it's someone being patient with their relationship versus somebody not pursuing you.
So there can be patience without confusion.
Yes.
Basically. Yeah. You can be patient. What, Chloe?
Yeah, I agree. I guess they just have to be consistent. Consistency is a huge thing in pursuing somebody. Like, you can't be back and forth. Like, you have to be consistent through it, because if you're not, like, what's the point? Like, then that's when people, like, start getting, like, asking questions, like, okay, well, what's going on? Like, you were acting this way, and that's how I knew I liked you, and then you stopped. So it's like, where do you go from there? And then you pick it back up, and then it's just, you know, it's like this little roller coaster ride of, like, also us girls, we just overthink everything. And we watch what you guys do. We watch your guys' behaviors. And so when things are inconsistent, I think, like, that can get messy. And I think guys need to realize, like, they have to stay consistent.
What do you think?
No, I agree. I definitely think it – when you're pursuing somebody, that it's, like, it's tough not to want to overcommit. I don't think be over the top with it, you know? Mm-hmm. And so,
well, I think that can, I agree with what you're saying, Chloe, but I also think that it's hard in a sense, because that's so true. When you're first getting to know someone or like trying to get their attention or like starting that pursuit, you do want to be over the top in that. Like you want to make it fun or exciting or like, you know what I mean? But eventually that's going to have to like, that's not sustainable long term. Do you know what I mean? Not that you can't have excitement and fun in dating. Maybe, I don't know if y'all, there's some weird faces going on. I wish y'all could see. maybe I sound crazy right now, but I think that like high and that infatuation can't last forever. What?
No, that's not what I'm talking about though. I'm not talking about like having fun and all that stuff. I'm talking about consistency, like with how they treat you. Like if their actions, like while, not even like while dating, but like trying to pursue and like see if they can date you, like just like how they act as a person. And like, if it's just kind of back and forth, like, you know what I mean?
Like their character isn't consistent?
Yeah, I guess. Or how am I supposed to say this? It's not like, oh, we're having fun like one day and we're not having fun the other. Like, not at all.
I didn't mean
all
it like that.
But you know what I mean? Like, I know like.
When you're like, wow, this is great. The next you're like, oh, this sucks.
No, I didn't. No. I know what you're talking about. And like, I think for me, I'm more talking about like consistency in the way of like how they respond to you, like how they treat you. If they're like texting you, like how you saying like he's not gonna just like drop you for 2 weeks and come back. But sometimes like I've noticed like sometimes guys will stop texting you for 3 days and be like, oh hi. I'm like, hello, like where have you been? And they're like, oh, I still like you. I'm like, really? You haven't texted me, you haven't checked up on me, like what's up?
That makes sense because I think consistency gives clarity.
Yeah.
And so when you have that consistency, you know where you stand. And I think that is such a huge thing, mostly with women. I don't think guys overthink it as much.
No.
I mean, for me, I'm like, yeah, I haven't heard from you in 3 days. Do you still like me? And I feel like guys are like, well, I told you I liked you like 7 weeks ago. And so unless I tell you I don't like you, I still like you. And girls don't think that way.
No,
and so consistency and like communication and that consistency creates clarity and security. And without that, there's just confusion. And I think confusion is what really kills a lot of relationships and leads to insecurities and issues like right off the bat.
Yeah. And I think like with guys of how they're pursuing the girl, and once they get the girl, like let's say like, you know what I mean? You have to continue that same pursuit. You can't just like stop how Ryan was saying being like over the top. Like, I mean, personally to me, I've never seen someone be like over the top and like liking me or trying to show me or trying to pursue me. But like if you like were a certain way and then you get me or like we both agree on something, like, okay, we like each other or something, and then all of a sudden that pursuit is like not as there anymore.
Yeah.
You make, does that make sense?
No, I think it does. It's not, I don't think there's a like your finish line change to pursue.
Yeah.
Is that a good way to put it? Like we're not pursuing to get to the finish line where you like win the girl and you start dating. I think especially from like a Christian perspective, honestly, I feel like this should just be a world perspective, but maybe it is just Christian. Like pursuit is like, it's the whole game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. If you like somebody, you like them throughout. Your actions shouldn't change.
Like you pursue through dating, you pursue like through marriage, like pursuit is the name of the game.
Wow. That should be the title.
There you go.
Like, do you agree?
No, I definitely agree. I think it's tough with guys because how you hinted at that we don't overthink things. So it's like we'll tell a girl we like them or like, you know, you're pursuing somebody and like they know you're pursuing them. And then like you don't mention that again or you don't like – you don't physically – or you like you don't verbally say – like communicate like, oh, yeah.
Which kills a girl's soul.
Like, yes. you
just telling you. If I like, have to ask.
You know, like, tell them like 3 days later like, oh, yeah, I still like you. You know, it's like guys don't think that. Like, you know, we're just like, oh, I told this girl I like her, so she knows I like her. While girls are over here like, I don't know if he likes me anymore because he hasn't told me in a couple days.
Yeah.
So it's, really you know, it's so
that's
tough.
Just how like on my third date like, with a guy, do you still like me?
Well, and I think
I'm here.
That, see, that bothers me though, because I'm like, if I have to question whether you like me, obviously there's a problem. And I understand like guys being like, oh, well, I told you. I'm like, yeah, but you should also know like I'm a girl. This is how my brain works. And like, yes, I need to understand like you told me and I need to trust in that, but also you need to accommodate to me.
I think there's a balance of it, of like, yeah, they should be aware and like wanting to create clarity, mm-hmm. I think that speaks a lot on their character and also their intentionality within pursuing you to, you know, give you security in that. But I think there also comes a point where we have to learn to trust what they say to some extent. Mm-hmm. But I think we also have to be looking for their actions that back that up. I know, like, as much as it's comforting to have a guy, like, literally every 5 seconds, but, you know, reinforce that, mm-hmm. like, there comes a point where I think we really do have to, like, trust their words and what they say. You know, when you're dating someone for, like, a year, are you still going to be like, oh, do you still want to date me? You know, like, I think there has to become a point where there's, like, that trust and, like, a switch. I don't really know what it looks like, but I think there's a middle ground. Mm-hmm. We can't, I think they should be accommodating in a sense, but also not purely end them.
Yeah. I think I'm more talking about like the beginning stages. I'm not talking about full on.
I know, like, that was just like an example.
But yeah, no, I 100% agree.
Like
after a while, I think like if it's been going on for a while, then yeah, you should know. Like if they made it very clear and they're still, and their actions add up.
Yeah.
Because I've seen where the actions haven't.
Yeah.
And then that's where, you know, you get confused and you're like, okay, hello.
Yeah. What do you think, Rye? Should like men accommodate to women in that area? Or not that it's asking too much, but like, I don't think it's asking too much, but is that like a really, I don't know. How do you think that dynamic should go?
I think over communication is what it needs, you know, like a starting relationship needs over communication. You know, it doesn't just need people to be communicating to each other. You need to be over communicating because it takes a while for two people to start to, you know, even the girls want us to be mind readers. We as guys aren't.
But, they don't take hints at all.
But, you should work on that.
I'm so sorry. One day. But I think that. After you get to know somebody or after you've been with somebody for a certain amount of time, you tend to know kind of what they want or what they expect. So I think since the beginning of a relationship, you don't know. That's where over-communication comes in, to where, you know, girls need to be bold and be like, hey, like, I'm feeling this kind of way. Like, you know, I need reassurance that you still like me because I feel like you haven't been talking to me. I haven't seen you in 2 weeks. And, you know, ouch. it's like, you know, clearly you're not, it makes me feel like you're not interested in me.
Yeah.
So I think with that, it's like, you know, you need to over communicate those things. Yeah. So if a guy is working or in school and it's, hey, this is my schedule. Mm-hmm. I'm not free on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So, you know, I won't see you on those days and I probably won't talk to you as much or text you as much.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's where the over communication comes in. So then the girl is reassured, like, hey, he's not talking to me today because it's a Tuesday and he's working from 9 to 5.
Absolutely.
And he works at a desk and makes calls.
Yeah.
So he can't text me or you know, he'll text me when he gets home or like, you know, maybe that's where a girl incorporates that communication back where, okay, I understand that. Can you, you know, text me at night when you get back home, you know, whenever you can, you know, stuff like that. That's where like the over communication comes in. So I think that's really important for beginning even friendships and relationships, you know.
Yeah.
If you're becoming friends with somebody and, you know, you do like them and you're pursuing that friendship for that reason, then it's communicating those things and talking more and more.
So would you rather a girl be bold and like clarify and ask those questions then like sit in insecurity? Because I think a common issue is that women don't want to be
overbearing
or needy or come across in like a, I don't know, but
just
that kind of
like
a way.
Them. Like, I don't want to come off annoying.
Like, oh, annoying.
Yeah.
I think that's a good thing. And so like a good way to put it. And so then we have like a whole group of women that are like sitting there in their confusion and their insecurity because they're scared that men aren't going to like it if they're bold in communicating their insecurities and their, like, worries and their needs.
Mm. That's huge. That's a lot to unpack. I think it's me personally, would rather have somebody who is bold and would tell me, you know, kind of what they're thinking, because I don't want somebody to be overthinking those things, or like sitting in that confusion. And I think you can even push this back to what earlier topics were on community. And, you know, I think that's where girls could have their community of friends, to be able to talk, you know, through all those things with, to an extent of if they feel like they're overbearing or don't want to be overbearing, then that's why they have a friend group that they can go and spill out all their thoughts and emotions on, you know, and talk to them about it. And then they can kind of gather their thoughts and gather what they want to say and then talk to the guy about it. So I think, you know, it goes back, or it goes back to that where, you know, a guy needs to talk to his emotions about his emotions and his feelings to all his guy friends, and then go talk to a significant other, you know, about what he's feeling in a very calm manner. I think it goes the other way too, where a girl needs to go and, you know, talk with her friends about all her insecurities or all her feelings and all her thoughts that she's like worried about, and then go talk to the guy about it in a very calm and, you know, like good manner. So yeah, it's all about communication. It's all about doing it the right way though. Healthy communication is what we aim for.
Yes, please.
Yeah, I think a big thing to kind of like a note to end on is asking for communication is not too much.
Oh, absolutely not.
And I think that's something that I believed and honestly was like kind of manipulated into in the past, is that asking for like clarification and communication is just such a huge ask. Like that's a, and it really is not. It's, and I just want to like hound that in. And even for you to like reiterate that, Rye, I feel like that's so important for you to like, you're just sitting here like asking women to be bold and communicate. And I think there's a big fear in doing that because we've been told that asking men to communicate is too much and like they can't, and they can't.
Oh, they don't want to.
If they don't want to, that's a them problem. And you can find someone who will.
Yeah.
I think that's like, honestly.
Yeah.
And for me to be saying that is a big deal. Like, is it not?
Yeah.
For me to sit here and say this is a big deal. Yeah. Asking for communication is not too much.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% agree. Because also, how are you going to do anything if you cannot communicate?
Yeah.
I'm very much a verbal processor. I'm very much, I like to communicate everything. And like, if I can't do that in a relationship, like, what's the point?
Yeah.
Like, it drives me insane when the guy won't speak back to me, or won't, like, I have to like constantly like draw things out and be like, here are my questions that I have for you.
Yeah. Well, even like going back to that friendship thing, like so much of friendship is based on communication. Like, you talk with your friends.
Yeah.
And so if you can't have those conversations and communicate like with someone else, you know, that you're dating, really, what is the point? Well, thank you guys so much for this slightly all over the place, very deep conversation. I'm sure all the ladies out there will be very thankful for your opinions, right? No, I'm serious.
Hopefully it was decent.
It was good. I think it was good. I'm excited for everyone to listen to it. And you are the first guy on the Girls Gather podcast. Maybe the only one. Whoa. Who knows? Whoa. We'll see.
There's a lot of weight to it. So
it really does.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me come out here. You know, I had to fly back home now.
Sure you do. He's living his podcast dreams. Is this the first podcast you've ever been on?
This is the first podcast I've ever been on. Wow. You know, I hope to make it onto a sports podcast next. But if anyone out there has a podcast they're doing and needs a guy, let me know. I'm here.
Your goal wasn't to be on a Christian women's podcast?
You know, I never put it on my list. But now there it is, and I can check it off.
Yeah,
so
it's on his resume.
Yeah, now it's on my resume. Go listen to my podcast.
Well, thank you guys, and we will see you for another episode soon.